Central Virginia's source for disinformation.
I pointed to Hunter Biden's representatives. He doesn't work in the government.
And dead information.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
WCHV.
This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade.
Joe Thomas in the morning, and on the Newsmakers line with us is our favorite documentarian. After misspending some of his youth in the halls of government, he has really found his calling as a storyteller. And he is Tom Garrett. What's going on, Major Tom?
Joe, so Aristotle reputedly said that if you give me the storytellers, I'll give you the future. And I think he was right. And so the reason that I was in politics was to try to leave a better tomorrow for our posterity. And the reason that I'm so attracted to the idea of being a documentary film maker is the exact same reason. But boy, do I have a story for you today.
Okay. What's the story?
All right. So imagine, if you will, that you're a young man who leaves his home across the sea to come to the U.S. to break into Hollywood film.
Okay.
Right? What are the odds? And imagine that you do just that. You leave everything behind that you knew. You come here, you move to Hollywood, and you start getting roles. And imagine that you work for a couple of decades, and you're not Russell Crowe or Tom Cruise, but you're working alongside actors like Tom Cruise. You're working alongside the top-tier folks, and you got roles in things like Pirates of the Caribbean and some of the Marvel series, etc. And you've got a Porsche, and you're living the dream in the U.S., and you're a middle-aged guy. And imagine this same guy who had the guts to leave everything that he knew to take a one-in-a-million chance to become a Hollywood movie star is captivated by the tragedy that occurs on 9/11 and later completely heartbroken by the horrific rise of ISIS in Syria and Iraq.
Uh-huh.
And imagine that this guy sells everything, walks away from everything, and leaves to go fight alongside our Kurdish-led allies in North and Eastern Syria against ISIS, not just for a week or a month, but for a long time, and does things like participate in the liberation of Raqqa. Imagine
wow.
that all of that is true.
All right. I'm hoping it is, because that sounds like
well,
a pretty damn good
true.
Story.
And there's a film out now, a really good documentary film that you can find on Curiosity Stream and some other places, called Hival, which is Kurdish for friend. And it details the story of sort of the decisions made by somebody who I really admire. That is a guy who was on top of the world, who was driving a Porsche in Hollywood and in movies with guys like Tom Cruise, who left it all to go fight ISIS, who now is living in a really tough situation in Mexico because he can't get back in the United States, and he can't get back into his native United Kingdom, because the very people who we were allies with fighting ISIS, they've deemed to be terrorists. And so now Michael Enright, Hollywood actor, doesn't have his first home or his second home because he cared enough to go fight against ISIS. And Joe, here's the best part of this story. Michael Enright is on the line. Michael, are you there?
I am. Wow. I'm feeling very humbled by that introduction. Thank you for that, Tom.
So, Michael, you kind of heard the introduction, and when I watched your film, Hival, I went through a cycle. Like, at first I thought, this guy likes to tilt at windmills, like me, right? Like, this is a guy who has a big vision and wants to make a difference, so I admire that. But then it got almost unbelievable. What got you there? How is it that you decided to turn your back on everything? I've seen the photos and the films, and you working alongside of people like Tom Cruise and Johnny Depp. How'd you end up in Syria fighting ISIS?
Well, you alluded to it when you mentioned 9/11. I was so traumatized and broken when that happened, and just shocked to my core that fellow foreigners, because that's what they were, they weren't from America, just like I'm not, had come here and they had so abused this hospitality, because it's hard sometimes, I think, to look at yourselves, but as Americans, you know, to be introspective. But I'm a foreigner, let me tell you, you know, and you're one of the most hospitable people that I've ever met. And I've lived, not visited, I've lived on every single continent of this globe except Antarctica. And the Americans are incredibly hospitable people. And for them to have misused that trust and that openness in such a way, it just devastated me. So I tried to join the American services, and they never called me back. And I thought, well, maybe it's because my English accent. So I did an American accent and called them again. And then a guy called Casper Van Dien was an actor, and he was staying with me at the time. And I told him, I said, I'm going to go. I said, I'm just going to go to the office. And, you know, and he went, you know, you can have an effect in a different way. And blah, blah, blah. And I went,
right, the thing to do when you're a Hollywood star is to hashtag, you know, fight terror and look sad. And but I mean, you wanted to go get your hands dirty, so you did not end up in the U.S. military.
No, I did not. But I wanted to get their faces dirty with a bullet. That's what I wanted to do. I mean, I really, really was so angry at that point. It went from pain to just anger at these people, Al-Qaeda, who had done this to America, to thousands of innocent Americans. And I allowed myself to be dissuaded from going, and it was the biggest regret of my life, because I'm an immigrant to America, but I feel an incredible amount of gratitude and like a debt to her. And
I'm trying to keep an eye on the clock for Joe, whose show this ultimately is, and I think we're closing on the break. But when we come back, I want to know, I mean, from 2001, September 11, to when you went to fight ISIS was over a decade. So what's going on in your head, and then what was it like, you know, selling everything and going into Syria and learning how to use an AK-47? So, Joe, I don't know where we are on a break, and if you want to butt in, it's your show, please do. But that's what I want to hear, Mike.
That's the part my listeners are the most used to hearing from anyway. So, we'll take a quick break. I want to hear the rest of this. Maybe radio documentaries are in your future, Tom.
Yeah, well, every once in a while, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn.
Trusting you to know information from disinformation.
I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID.
Without a government board.
You're mocking me, aren't you?
Oh, no.
WCHV.
Joe Thomas in the morning. Our dear friend Tom Garrett is a documentary filmmaker, maybe even an audio documentary filmmaker, because he's got a great story here. And I'm real curious real quick, Tom, how did you hear about this story?
Okay, I'm glad you asked. And folks, that wasn't planned. So a missionary who I'd done work with in Syria has not met Michael face-to-face, but has met tons of the same people that Michael knows, and myself as well. I've spoken with Michael for countless hours on the phone. We've never met face-to-face. But, like, Mohammed Hassan from the Syrian Democrat Council was on your program with me a few weeks back, and, of course, Michael's like, yeah, I know him. So a lot of the same circles, but this missionary, David Eubank.
Tom? Did they come and get Tom? I know David Eubank.
He's an amazing guy, and here's what he did, and he can't get back in the U.S. Can you help? And, you know, I do a lot of stuff to try to earn a living, and then I do stuff because I think it's right. So nothing in it for me, but if Michael does get back in the U.S. and continue to do things that make the world a better place, and I know I have a little part in that, then I have this great satisfaction that God used me to do something that matters. So that's how I met Michael, and, I wish I had been able to do more for him so far, but just telling the story, because it's such a remarkable story, that's how we came to know Michael Enright.
Oh, great story. Anyway, so continue, Michael. I think Tom left you with a question.
What was the question?
Yeah, I mean, you left everything, right? You go to Syria. Certainly you've traveled, but you never traveled to a war zone. So, you weren't a trained shooter, and you go and volunteer with the international forces helping the fight against ISIS. Like, tell us about that, and then I do not want to finish this segment without hearing about your current situation. But tell us about going to Syria and fighting ISIS and maybe the liberation of Raqqa.
Yeah. Okay. So those feelings of regret that I hadn't gone to Afghanistan were there throughout that decade. And then 2014 came along and ISIS came along. And they went into Sinjar and they killed all the males over 12 and took their freshly made widows and little daughters as sex slaves, and we would see the videos. How much for the blue-eyed Yazidi? Just horrendous, like, biblical stuff. You know, I'd only read about that in the Bible. I couldn't believe that. And and so it brought all those feelings of back again. And then they started cutting off the heads of innocent Americans. And it was, this was the hair on the camel's back. It was an Englishman. They called him Jihadi John, who was the guy who was cutting the heads off these Americans. And I just thought, no, I'm sorry. No, I can't do it. I can't watch this again. And so I made phone calls, and the British and the Americans were not in there at that time. They were sending airstrikes, but they weren't actually on the ground with soldiers. And so the people that were fighting them was the Iraqi army, the Syrian army, which are dictators, and the Kurds. And the Kurds seemed to be the only ones that were really into this, had the will to fight and were fighting back. So I thought, I want to join them. And so I made some phone calls to special forces people I knew, and they put me in touch with the Kurds. And then through an incredibly arduous, difficult process, I was able to get to them, met them in Iraq, and then we smuggled ourselves into Syria at night over on a rubber dinghy across the Tigris, and went for a 20-mile trek and then arrived at the base camp. And then that was the start of my, what they called the YPG, or as they call them, the YPG, which are the Kurdish forces, the People's Protection Units that fight in Syria. And I did that for four. The tours are 6 months long, and I did it for four tours, the last three back to back to back with no break all the way through until we liberated Raqqa. And at that point, I came home, and I'd been given intelligence to the Americans because I'd overstayed my visa. And in between tours, I tried to come home, and they said, no, you've overstayed your visa. And they, so, I tried legally to enter, but they deported me. And they said, if you can help us get a bad guy, we'll let you come back. So I definitely did that and started working with the American intelligence and gave them a lot of info. But when I came back, I arrived in Belize and went to the embassy there, and they didn't honor, I mean, they were nice people, but they didn't honor the agreement, and she disappeared, the lady who made it, and so I was stuck
Joe,
for 2 years.
Let me interrupt, Michael. Joe, I'm listening to this story, sorry. Watching the movie Haval, which, again, you can find on Curiosity Stream and other places streaming, Heval, Kurdish for friend. I'm listening to this story going bullcrap, right? I don't believe it, right? And this is before I know Michael that well. And then the Washington Post, you can find the article, British actor marooned in Belize. They back check Michael's claims, hey, I'm helping the U.S. government with intelligence. And it all checks out, right?
Wow.
So, I mean, like, this is crazy. It doesn't happen. And so ultimately, let's fast forward. I don't know how much time we have left in the segment, Joe, to sort of the liberation of Raqqa, because that was the capital of the caliphate. And then you're trying to get back in. You found out you've overstayed your visa. Where are you now, and what can people do?
I'm in Mexico now, they're making a movie, or they're trying to make a movie. If I can get home, if the American government will grant me a visa, they're going to make a movie based on that documentary. And I got to tell you, they talk about being in a Hollywood bubble. I kind of was. I didn't really have many Republican friends. I had one in Florida. I used to call him Redneck Jack. But since I was over there, I have to be honest, it's the conservative community in America that have really rallied to try and help me. I mean, out of the blue, like you just said, people who I've never met, like you, Tom, Chris Snyder is a guy who works for Bob Good. I've never heard of Bob Good. You know, this guy doesn't know me from a hole in the wall, but he loves soldiers and he really respects what I've done, and he's trying to help me now to come back. I was put in touch with him through George Kaler, this incredible guy who I just love. I adore this fella.
He
founded the Tea Party. And just amazing people who have come to the fore. And I'm just so grateful to the American people who've helped. How can they help me? Well, I have a website they can go to, but mostly they can send a prayer, please, because, you know, we're close to me coming home. They're making a decision, any day that we speak of. And so I'd really ask for your prayers. That would be great. You know, I'd really appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate your story, Michael. You know, and I want some credit for holding my tongue because there's part of my brain that says, "Well, why don't you just walk across with some of the illegals that are coming across?" But then, of course, that's right.
A lot of people have suggested that. Believe you me, but I want to do it the right way. You know, I've
right.
been waiting for a long time, and I want to try and do it the right way.
Well,
the other thing is that, I've actually had that conversation with Michael. He does that, and he can't come work here, right? Because he's a pretty well known guy. So he has to do it the right way if he wants to continue to be one of those storytellers mm-hmm. who shapes the future. And by the way, Michael, if you keep talking like a Republican, then we're going to stop trying to get you a green card and start trying to get you citizenship because we need all the votes we can get.
I was going to say his British citizenship probably is calling and saying, hey, you know, we need some votes for Parliament, too. I think they got a special election coming up there.
That's right.
Michael, I look forward to seeing, you know, both films. Maybe you'll get Tom Cruise to play you now as opposed to...
No, that's the deal. Like, the back deal is that I get to play Michael Enright in the Michael Enright story.
Oh, is that how this all works?
all
of a sudden, I feel like Jiminy Glick. Okay, well, I appreciate it, guys. And, you know, God, Michael, I hope you get home soon. And Tom...
Thank you for this. I really appreciate you giving me a chance to talk to your listeners and ask for the prayers. So thank you, sir.
Not at all. And
you
Tom,
want to talk about Small World, Joe? I know we got a break. So I didn't know Michael knew George Kaler, and I was with Chris Snyder from Bob Good's office a couple of days ago and didn't know that Chris Snyder knew Michael Enright. So Michael's trying, and I'm trying to help, and thanks to CHB and you, Joe.
All right, I appreciate it, guys. You have travel safe.
Being tuned in means Joe Thomas now, Sean Hannity at 3, Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.